Yo, what's good? What's happening, Rush Nation? Welcome to episode 89 of 5 Yard College. And more importantly, we are on a Wednesday before the NFL draft. It is draft eve. We've made it. The Jets fan in the room, as you can imagine, it's a mock draft. Tom is back with us. He is hyper excited for this. His mic is still muted, so I'll keep talking until he turns that off and comes to the room. Welcome, Tom. How you doing, my man?
It's Christmas Eve, mate. Christmas Eve.
Yeah, but this is like the Christmas where you sort of get coal every year, right? You never
But you know, it's you know that the Family Guy thing, right? You know, the Family Guy can have the speedboat or the mystery box, and it might be a boat. That's how I feel every draft. It's like you talk about all these top talents, and then you go, yeah, but look at the team he's signed for. But could be a Chase Young. Probably not going to be, but could be.
No, I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. Also, we are joined by Jake. Jake, welcome back, man. How you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Stocks, mate. Yeah, looking forward to tomorrow. Good. Hoping my Titans don't draft someone else that's injured again, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, I've got the task of picking for them later on, so we'll get what you make of my pick later on. Obviously, it wouldn't be 5 Yard College without my ride or die, Ash. We've made it back together, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's been a while. It's been a bit of a topsy-turvy few weeks, but we are back here just in time for the draft tomorrow, and of course, we had to finish with a mock draft. It was always coming.
It was always coming. It's been topsy-turvy. Missed a few things out. But hey, that's life, that's the way it goes. And it's Christmas Eve, we've managed to get here for the draft. Those of you that are watching on the live stream or going to catch this video later on, you will see I am wearing my Central Michigan t-shirt, Fire Up Chips. Thanks, Murph, for that birthday present. Interesting fact about Central Michigan, boys, don't know whether you knew this or not. Over the last 10 years, they have had more number one picks than the entire Big Ten together, and that was Eric Fisher in 2015. So Big Ten, let's go get a first, the number one pick. Ash, don't shake your head. You loved that fact when I dropped it yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Still,
shout out to Murph as well. That's a great birthday present, by the way.
It is. It's a legit. And the t-shirt, it's very soft, so I don't want to wash it because my washing machine just eats stuff and throws it out. Right, Rush Nation, it's mock draft. We normally talk way too much at the beginning. We talk way too much about each pick, and each pick, mock draft, takes forever. Not a problem. But we thought we should start quick. There is a chance that Luke, one of our boys, jumps in as well. Chaos could well ensue here. We're going to start with the number one overall pick. Not like last time where we did it as a collective. We're going to do a pick each this time just to really confuse each other and see how that goes. Again, somehow I'm picking at one for the Jags. Are we doing trades in this, boys, before I make my pick?
I haven't prepared for trades, but I'm open to the possibility.
Can the Jets trade for Deebo Samuel? If so, yes. If not, not interested.
No, I think we just do a straight up mock on this one. It's a bit too much of a wild card on 3 minutes into the pod to change to our drafts to our trades into it. Boy.
Yeah, and Stocks, you can't start by going, yo, we go on for too long. It takes too long. Should we do some? Because last time, how many times did we try and get Drake London to New York?
No, that's very fair. That is very, very fair. Okay, at one, I have the de facto one pick every time we do a mock, and Ash does spin the wheel, and it is fair. It just always ends up on me. And with the number one pick, as per usual, I'm taking Evan Neal, the best offensive lineman in this class, just shoring up Trevor Lawrence. How do we feel about that, boys? It's been my number one pick for every mock, so...
No,
I'd be surprised, but I don't hate it.
I'm not getting on board with this whole edge thing at one. It probably will happen, but I just think they should go offensive line. It's my safety net, I suppose.
He's a beast, right? He's an absolute beast. Athletic beast is probably going to translate better to the next level than he even did in college. So I mean, like it's you can't really lose there, right?
Yeah. I think Kyle Hamilton could be the best overall player in this draft, but taking him at one here for the Jags feels a little rich. So with the Jags pick all nailed in, Ash is at two with the Lions. Where are we going here, big man?
I'm going to keep the guy at home, and I'm going to go for Aiden Hutchinson, edge from Michigan. The Lions need an edge. I think Hutchinson is on their radar if he doesn't go at one, which I don't think I really don't know who's going one. come tomorrow night. Now there's a lot of options going around, but I think for the Lions, they need a defensive end, so it's Hutchinson for me. Still over Walker at the moment.
Anybody got anybody else that they think should have gone at two?
Not if Hutchinson's fall into there. No.
No. Okay. I mean, pick whoever you like best, right? Out of Kayvon Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson, it's all down to you at the end of the day. I don't think either of those are bad picks at two.
There's quite a lot of chat about the Georgia edge player though, right? At number one, obviously. Yeah,
I think that's a gamble on what may be rather than what has been. But I think you could say that about any of those Georgia defensive linemen because of the rotation, because they were on and off the field, didn't see a huge amount of time compared to some of the other guys. Could say that about any of the Georgia linemen. So it sounds like Trayvon Walker's going to go high, but I don't know. Question marks for me purely based on pass production because the athletic ability is there. I'm going to pass on Trayvon Walker at pick three. I'm taking Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm not buying into any of the smokescreen about these supposed minor character concerns. He's a winner. He's been a supreme athlete since high school. And for me, the Texans need help everywhere. But Thibodeau he's got everything there, every makeup to be a top edge rusher in the NFL. And for me, as much as it might hurt my team at four, I'd have loved him to have been there. He's the pick at three.
I mean, he could go number one overall. He's got that upside. And I think of these three players we've noted, any one of them can go one. And you wouldn't be unhappy if any of them fell to you in the top three. Ash, am I wrong with that? Is there anybody that should have gone there instead?
No, I have no complaints for that. I think it would be him, Walker, or Ekwonu would be my options for Texans. And I think any of the, there's five or six guys that could potentially still be going number one tomorrow. It's so open. And yeah, I think Thibodeau's upside is insane. If he realizes that, even at number three overall, it's a bargain.
Agreed. Right. Jake has back-to-back picks here, stepping in for Luke, who has gone AWOL. Jake, don't break Tom's heart. What's happening at four?
I am going to take Trayvon Walker because the Jets... sorry, Tom. because the Jets do need pass rushers, right? Like Carl Lawson's coming back from an Achilles. Bryce Huff is still kind of young, not really refined. And John Franklin Myers, right? Is more of like a power rusher. And I think the versatility off the edge that Walker gives you, along obviously like he stood out at Georgia amongst all of those five stars, right? Mauled Bryce a couple of times in the national championship game, which I don't really want to remember too well. It's just Trayvon Walker for me. I think he's the best player on the board there for me as well.
What worries me about that pick is not him and his potential. It's, you know, just the past history when this franchise has gone for, you know, what we haven't seen yet. The Jets haven't been great at realizing untapped potential. So I was wanting some big apple sauce at number four there, but never mind.
Okay, Jake, you're up again. Five Giants.
I mean, I've got to take the best offensive tackle on the board, right? The Giants, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before when they drafted Andrew Thomas in the first round, and like everyone had their head in their hands because they just knew what was going to happen to Daniel Jones straight after that. And it did. He got mauled. And this guy is much more of an elite caliber offensive lineman, projects for a much longer sort of dominant physical career. I don't think it's a hard pick there.
You haven't said his name yet. Who are we going for?
Oh, sorry. Ekwonu. I'm awful with names.
Ekwonu. Yeah, I knew it was him, but I just, for those that are on the audio, they would be like, oh, who might not know who you're talking about. So
I quite carried, like that. That would make away for a really good mock draft if we just described the player without saying who it was. And then we could claim to have got all 32 picks, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Bit rusty on the streams.
That's all right. I think you're spot on there. I think Ekwonu would be a great pick for them. As you say, they've got got Andrew Thomas a couple of years ago. He's projected to be their starting left tackle. And Ekwonu has got the versatility to play guard or tackle. So, and he will improve that line, whatever position he starts in. So, yeah, great, great pick there for me.
Well, that leaves me at a quandary at 6 for the Panthers. Do I draft offensive line or do I take Malik Willis? That is the question. I think the pick for me here is Charles Cross, left tackle. I think it's a home run pick. I know it will make Rob happy as well because he is well invested in them taking from the offensive line. And I don't know whether Malik Willis is good enough to go at 6. He may well go in a few picks time, but... Yeah, I think Charles Cross is the pick here to shore up that offensive line. Tom is nodding. Tom, talk to me.
And just for me, the shades of Rashawn Slater in terms of the narrative surrounding him. You know, Rashawn Slater was a top offensive tackle who slid further than he should have done. And all signs now are pointing to that happening to Charles Cross, who as a pass protector, as an offensive tackle, as a left tackle, he is the best in this class. But because he doesn't have... maybe the positional versatility, because it was, you know, in that pass-heavy offense, his reputation has somehow taken a hit. But I just know that just like with Rashawn Slater, whichever team takes him is not going to regret it. So this is the pick for Carolina for me here.
Super. Pleased that I made you happy. Right, Ash.
You 7. Always make me happy.
Ash, you are at 7 with the Giants.
Yeah, 7 with the Giants. So... obviously, we got the offensive tackle at 5, which I was expecting to happen and made my life a little bit easier. And I was looking at their roster and what they needed. And I think I'm going to probably upset Tom here quite a bit, but I'm going to go for Sauce Gardner.
Oh, it's the wrong... the wrong Big Apple.
Exactly. So on two fronts, I've upset Tom. But just looking at what they've got there and how good Gardner will be, I think it's quite evident that he's going to be one of the top shutdown corners in a couple of years. It's an immediate improvement for the Giants secondary, which they quite desperately need. They've got Adoree Jackson and James Bradbury, but obviously Bradbury's getting on a bit now. But Adoree Jackson's had his injury issues and Gardner steps in as a day one starter and the top cornerback.
Have I dreamt this or are they shopping Bradbury as well?
Ooh, I don't know if they are or not. But if they are, then it makes this pick even better.
And if they're
read that they've been trying to field calls for him.
What? Why are you dreaming about Bradbury?
I just need Sauce Gardner to be a Jet, and I think part of me knows he's going to end up as a Giant, and it ain't going to end well for me.
I mean, two picks in the top 10. If they don't trade out and you don't take him at 4, it's highly likely it's happening.
Exactly that. Right. Okay. Falcons at 8. Right up until this week, it's going to be a wide receiver. And right up until this week, it was going to be who I've got as the wide receiver number one on the board. But just looking at the rise of Jameson Williams in the last sort of week, 10 days, I've got a sneaky feeling, a little bit like with Henry Ruggs, when we had those three receivers and the world was a little bit shocked at Ruggs being the first off the board. I'm going to go Jameson Williams here at number 8 to the Falcons. I think people are just going to love that deep threat ability. That's not to say Garrett Wilson hasn't got that, but I think what we saw in that year at Bama is, you know, that this guy's a number one wide receiver and you can use him in a variety of ways, and Falcons need all the help they can get.
I did not see that coming one tiny little bit. Jake, as the Bama man, talk to me about Williams.
Like he showed a lot in his 1 year at Bama. But I think like I'm a bit cautious on Jameson Williams for a couple of reasons, right? He one year of elite production, only one, with arguably the best quarterback in college football, with surrounded by talent, playing in a role where, like, do you know what I mean? He is physically technically better than literally almost everybody he was going up against, apart from maybe Georgia, like the Georgia cornerbacks he was injured, right? He was injured for the game. So, but like, But in the SEC Championship final, right? He, like, he went up. He Georgia pretty much shut him down. I think he had like 66 yards or something like that. But, so I've just got like a little bit of cause for concern on him. Like, he shows a lot of potential, but I could also see him being a Corey Coleman or just honest assessment, right? Like, one year of elite production in an offense where everything's set up for you to succeed. Like, yeah, that's great, right? That's like the minimum expectation. So, like, I don't think we've seen really what he's capable of with sort of like barriers to overcome, right? Like, elite NFL defenses, maybe a system that doesn't completely fit to his style. Yeah, I'm interested to see. I'm of course absolutely pulling for the guy. I really hope he succeeds at the next level. But I've got a few causes for concern on it.
He's an expensive wild card wherever he's taken in the first round, I think. Whether he goes top 10, which I think there is a chance that that happens, or if he goes 30th or 31st, as you say, the limited production and then the injury towards the end of the year that he's obviously still going to be recovering from. So someone's going to be taking a gamble that he's going to be able to recover from that. I'm sure he will. ACLs aren't as bad as they used to be, but when it's a guy that relies on that speed, it does add that little bit into your mind. But at the same time, he could quite easily end up being the best wide receiver in this class. But it is a gamble. But 8 may be a bit rich, but I mean, we've seen crazier picks from the Falcons in the past, haven't we? So so I'm up at 9 with the Seahawks, which, yeah, I just got these. I don't think I had these, but so I'm sort of going out. I'm thinking as I'm talking, and I reckon looking at their current depth chart, I'm going to go for Derek Stingley, cornerback, because their cornerbacks look, well, they haven't really got anything there. And I think Derek Stingley is there, or with Gardner, in my opinion. I still do think Stingley is Gardner's my one now, but I think it is very close between the two of them. It's him personally that a lot of people have issues with, his attitude. I think he sort of almost had enough at LSU. So hopefully he doesn't pull that over into the NFL. But I think his attributes and his potential are right up there with anyone in this draft. And as I say, the Seahawks need help at cornerback. And Stingley is the best option there. Now Gardner's off the board.
Tom, you looked surprised by this pick.
Yeah, but then looking at what's on the draft board, not so much anymore, because I've just sort of, you know, written it into my mind that it's going to be an offensive tackle for Seattle. But then when you look, you know, the top three guys off the board, then maybe you do look elsewhere and best player available. So, you know, it wasn't the case that I was raising my eyebrows at the pick. It was just I've been mocking offensive tackle at that position for so long. But when you look at what's available, I haven't got any problems with it.
Super. Jake, you are back on the clock for gangrene. Tom is he's on tender hooks. What's happening?
All right. I think the Jets need an outside wide receiver, right? Like, they need a true number one X receiver. And Elijah Moore's great, but he's obviously gonna convert much more to like a versatile slot player with like jet sweeps and those sorts of plays, right? And like, yes, you'll probably catch him downfield, like in a mismatch in coverage or what have you when he beats a defender, but he can't rely on someone like that outside. So I think the right pick is Drake London, and that's the pick for me.
I like it. I think you're right there. If it wasn't the Jets, possibly not Drake London going at 10, but like, I think everything you said there is absolutely spot on. They need a player like Drake London alongside Elijah Moore. I think it would work perfectly for them as long as Wilson can throw them the ball and stay upright. Let's try to get a reaction out of Tom. He's typing.
No, I'm much happier with that pick at 10 than the one at 4, only just because. And it seems strange, right? Because it's a bulldog going to the Jets, but it just seems destined for failure if it's Trayvon Walker. But yeah, Drake London, get him on the outside. use that downfield speed, and Wilson's got the arm strength to for the deep ball. So yeah, let's hope for the best.
So I'm up at 11 with the Washington Commanders. How is Kyle Hamilton still? We talked about this guy at one possibly, and now he's here at 11. However, the Washington Commanders don't really need a safety at this point. Their biggest need for me at the moment is linebacker. When you think their current starters are Jamin Davis and David Mayo, Devin Lloyd is an instant upgrade at the linebacker position. He is easily the best linebacker in this class. I don't think it's too rich at 11. And I can't believe Kyle Hamilton's going to be there at 12 for the Vikings.
It's like you say, Hamilton is potentially the best player in this draft, but he's a safety. That is always going to be... He's a safety, and there's other teams have got more pressing needs. But every team that's picked so far, you could argue, has more pressing needs than safety. So, yeah, I think there is a high chance that Hamilton could well still be sat here at 12 tomorrow, just because of the fact that where he plays, and despite the fact that he is one of the best players, if not the best player in the draft, so someone's going to get a great deal.
Yeah. Which moves you, Tash, to 12 in the Vikings?
No, talk about... Did someone say something about Devin Lloyd? I'm not ready. we haven't actually spoken about you picking Devin Lloyd. Someone say something.
I know you love him, Stocks, right? And I know you've been big on Devin Lloyd as linebacker one for a long time. But is the same logic not applicable, you know, when we're saying the positional value there at pick 11... Maybe, you know, we don't go safety that soon. Could you say the same about a linebacker there as well?
I think so. But then when you look a couple of years ago against when Tampa and Pittsburgh Steelers took the two Devins, right? Was Tampa at 5 and then Devin at 10 when they traded with the Broncos? The Broncos traded back to 20. I think you can see the value of... When you see how good Devin White is as a linebacker for the Buccaneers, I think when you watch Devin Lloyd play, he covers 75%, if not more, of the pitch vertically. He can also get across the field as fast as anybody in this class. And I think what he brings to the game as a linebacker is top tier. And I think for the Commanders, they need a linebacker. I hear what you're saying about positional value, but I think when you see players when they are elite in the top 10 at linebacker, the Steelers pick hasn't worked out as well as Tampa's pick did, but when they are an elite linebacker, I think it is worth the pick in the top 10. I know the Commanders are at 11, but you hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're there or thereabouts, aren't we?
Right,
Ash, you've had plenty of time there. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm torn between two. Hamilton is one of them, and Jermaine Johnson is the other at edge, because I do think they do have a need at edge. But Harrison Smith is what? How old is he's got to be in his late 30s now, isn't he? Or early 30s, something like that. He's getting on. So do we let Hamilton continue to slide? No. I'm gonna take him. I know it's probably a bit of a luxury at 12, considering they do still have Harrison Smith there, but Harrison Smith has maybe got a year or two left. So even if Hamilton's sat for a year, which I can't imagine is going to happen, he's a ready replacement for Smith, or they could challenge each other straight off the bat, and Smith could end up being the backup. But yeah, Harrison Smith, the slide stops at 12.
And I don't know who said it, but there was I heard Joe Douglas quoting somebody yesterday, and he was saying luxury today is necessity tomorrow. So he was talking about reporters were asking about whether he'd take a lineman, and he said, you know, luxury today, necessity tomorrow. And that's exactly what that pick is with Kyle Hamilton. You know, you don't need him right now, but like you said, Harrison Smith, 10-year vet, get his replacement in the door before he's already gone.
Before we move on, I've just seen that Murph is well up in the comments here. Murph, welcome to the show, big man. Yeah, I do think Murph asked, can Devin Lloyd... Let me drag it back into view because I didn't have it there. Murph said Tampa was at 5, but White was it. Bought in to captain the D as the Mike linebacker. Do you think Devin Lloyd is a captain Mike linebacker? I think he can... I think he can be developed into the Mike. I think he's got all the skills. He's just a freak at the position. I think he could also play Sam. So I'm fully happy with the pick at 11. I think he can be the Mike going forward. Yeah. Okay. That's thrown me. Who's next? Is it me? Please don't.
It's Tom. No, it's Tom.
Me with the Texans. I really don't know what to do now, folks, because I was hanging my hat on Kyle Hamilton falling.
That was a big hope.
I thought you would be.
Well, to be fair for me, once Hamilton gets past the Giants at 7, that this is where I see him going. If the Giants passing him at 7, then I see him going in the teens. Because the Texans need everything, right?
Trade back. Oh, no, you can't, because we're not trading because we take too much.
Yeah. The Texans need everything. I'm gonna take this player because I just think you know that you're gonna get production for a long period of time. And right now I'm struggling to pick out key names in that receiver room. So let's give Davis Mills Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
And you know, Davis Mills shocked a few people with how he played in his rookie year. So you know, I think this year's a big year for him. I think it's a prove it year, and Garrett Wilson could end up being his number one wide receiver. And I know they've got needs everywhere, and you might say that there are better options in terms of positional value, but yeah, let's take Wilson.
Ash.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Looking at their wide receivers, they've got a bit of a ragtag bunch. Obviously, you've got Brandon Cooks, Chris Moore, Nico Collins, Chris Conley. I mean, there's no one really there that stands out at you. I do agree that there may be needs elsewhere that you would I may have gone for, like a guard, but I don't hate it. I think Garrett Wilson's got the potential to be a wide receiver one, and as you say, give Davis Mills another weapon, and just hope he can stay up and actually throw the ball.
It's me again.
It is.
I'm going to take a Georgia defensive tackle not named Jordan Davis. Devontae Wyatt, Devontae, please. Wyatt.
Yes. Okay. Tom.
Okay. And why is that?
I think that Davis as a 3-4 guy. I mean, I know there's better fits further down the board, but thinking from an NFL GM's point of view, my main concern would be 50% time on the field, and Devontae Wyatt, I think you can rely on more for game time, but I think also you've got more uses. I mean, you know, Jordan Davis is a monstrous nose tackle, right? But I think you can use Devontae Wyatt in a multitude of ways. And yeah. I think that just gives him the edge in terms of the pick here for Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is a good one for, as you say, for the Ravens front line. Yeah. And Wyatt has that little bit extra versatility, whereas Davis is, as you say, he's a nose, one of the best, the best nose in the draft, but it is a typical Ravens pick, that, with Wyatt, and I think he could quite easily succeed in that scheme.
Jake, you are back on the mic at 15 for the Eagles, my man.
Eagles need a few pieces in the defense, right? They could do with safety, they could do with edge, but I think they need corner more than anything else. And looking at the edge players, right, we've got a couple of picks, and we've got a pick in a couple of picks time. There's a few edge players on the board that would be pretty good, right? Jermaine Johnson, Ojabo, or Kyle Aftis are like all sort of decent prospects. Whereas cornerback falls off pretty quickly after Trent McDuffie. And so I think his 40 time at the combine was 4.44. Like he's elite speed to keep up with like seriously quick wide receivers. And he showed ball hawkish type coverage, right, at Washington. I know he played in the Pac-12, so like not the best competition. But I think he's one of those like sort of like undercovered prospects who's going to be like a surefire first round pick and have a decent career in the NFL.
Ash, what do we think?
Yeah, I like it. I think I agree with everything Jake said there. The Eagles have a number of needs on defense, but they have two picks, and in two picks' time, there are probably more edges on the board that you would be happy to take a chance on than risk losing out on McDuffie at 15. So, yeah, I like it. I think he can step in straight away and play alongside Slay quite easily. And he was very impressive at the combine.
Okay. That moves it to me at 16 with the New Orleans Saints. Now, currently looking at their depth chart and their needs, they need a wide receiver. Did we know what's happening with Michael Thomas? I haven't heard a single thing. I'm assuming he's back, going to play, right?
He's got to be healthy now, surely.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, which is why I think wide receiver here. But then also, they need a left tackle as well. Ash, I can't see the... Hang on, let me zoom in here. Who's available at wide receiver and offensive tackle?
You got Chris Olave, Treylon Burks, Christian Watson at wide receiver. Trevor Penning, Tyler Smith. Really? Oh. I mean, there's...
I like the Trevor Penning pick. I love the Trevor Penning pick. And I actually might have gone him at Seahawks. I know it's probably not what they will actually do at whatever it was, pick 9 or 10. But I think that's actually the correct pick.
I have Trevor Penning written down on my bit of paper. Yeah. But there's something spicy about Michael Thomas and Chris Olave receiving absolute bombs from Jameis that... really interesting. Now I'm going to be sensible, and I'm going to take the left tackle. I'm going to take Trevor Penning and be the sensible guy here.
Yeah,
Jake, you swayed me, because otherwise it was Chris Olave.
Go on, Jake. Joy.
I mainly did that because I've got a Saints pick in a couple of picks times, and I wanted to pick the wide receiver. So,
well, don't pick Burks for the love of God.
Yeah, no, I think that is the right move there. I think getting Penny when he's the best tackle left on the board, and there's a bit of a drop once he's gone, and there is a lot of wide receivers that you can take your pick from that I think Saints would be happy at 19, or even if they don't take a wide receiver at 19, they would be happy with a second or third round guy. There's that many that I think could make a difference for them in this draft. Mm. So it's me at 17 now with the Chargers, and
great audio this, Ash.
I know, I thought so as well. I was kind of hoping that McDuffie would fall here to them. He hasn't. I know they got Jackson, JC Jackson from New England, but I still do think they have a need at cornerback. But I'm not entirely convinced I want either of those.
Well, why don't you talk through your options so the people on the audio form can also understand what you're doing?
Yes, sorry. So that either of the other options I'm looking at are Andrew Booth Jr. or Kira Lamb. But I'm not convinced that I want to go in that direction now McDuffie is off the board.
For those of you listening on the audio, the video isn't as enthralling as it makes out to be here either, just so you're not...
I'm looking at a screen trying to decide what I want to go for. That is how entertaining this is right now.
Ash, I will take this opportunity then to say, if you are listening on the audio and you haven't come over and checked out the video format, come find us on YouTube, search 5 Yard Rush. Every Wednesday, the majority of Wednesdays, the College Boys are live, but there is many, many podcasts that are live every evening. Dynasty, Fantasy, the flagship with Murph, IDP. There's probably going to be maybe some DFS. Ash, I can't keep talking any longer. Who are the Saints Chargers taking at 17?
I'm gonna stick with cornerback. I think it is the biggest need they've got, despite getting JC Jackson. So I'm gonna go for Andrew Booth Jr. from Clemson. I can't pick out. I was looking at defensive tackle. But obviously they've got Tillery. I was looking at wide receiver, but I think it's a bit too rich for them to take a wide receiver in the first round with what they've got. So yeah, Andrew Booth. I'm happy with Andrew Booth. I think he is a first round talent. I think just McDuffie going off the board at 15 really threw me, because that was locked in as my pick at 17 for them. So I do apologize to the listeners and the viewers for that thrilling insight into how I'd make my decisions.
Well, luckily for the people on audio, they've got the mix maestro, maestro and myself, who can take out the 25 minutes of silence that video watchers have to do there. Right, Tom, 18, you are the Eagles.
Yeah, I am the Eagles. Okay, So we've got Trent McDuffie in the bag. I might just do what Ash does and just say nothing for a long while now and see what happens.
I can feel it. I've got some good stories.
No, I'm starting to consider. Would it be too much for Philly to go wide receiver again? 3 years on the trot.
Well, they're great at it.
I mean, we can just give up on Jalen Reagor at this point, right?
Maybe I dreamt that they're shopping Jalen Reagor. Is that?
Yeah, you've got to have buyers to shop somebody. That's the problem. All right, in that case, I'm going to break some Nolan's hearts, and I'm taking Chris Olave, wide receiver.
Well, that was hugely anticlimactic as well. A couple of real beefy picks right there. Well, so let's, Tom, for instance, say they do draft a wide receiver here and they have all three players. Who do we think doesn't play, or is Jalen Reagor just done now?
Well, I really like Jalen Reagor coming into the NFL, and it just hasn't worked out. And he showed flashes towards the end of his rookie year, but I think with Olave, I think what people possibly have underappreciated is his downfield speed. I know Devontae Smith's got that in spades as well, and I think if you've got either of those guys either side of the field, you're not going to be able to double cover both of them. And I think this could be really good news for Devontae Smith, just freeing up those deep passes. I really like Chris Olave, and I think because he went back for his senior year, I think it's done his stock no good. I think he's been hurt by sticking around a year. But that deep field speed, I think it's going to cause teams problems.
Resident Buckeye, what do we think?
Yeah, I have to agree with Tom that I don't think he did himself any favours going back to school. I think, Tom, we spoke about it last year. We were very surprised that he made that decision to do it. I don't think he really benefited anything from doing that. I also don't think it actually hindered him in the long run. I just don't think it really added him anything. He just lost a year in the NFL, really. I like the pick for the Eagles. I think it is typical for them to go 3 years in a row, but you're spot on. Jalen Reagor's, it's a very long shot for him to be successful now. They just need to cut bait and try again. And I think Olave on one side, Smith on the other. Yeah, you can't go wrong. And Hurts, with Hurts' arm as well, and the speed and another that both of those have.
Another update that played no sort of bearing into my decision is Arcega Whiteside's now going to be a tight end, right?
What?
He's coming back next year and playing tight end. So, you know, I could argue that this is both best player available and need at the same time. if I can say that J.C. Arcega-Whiteside, if I can say that his absence is a need, then there we go.
Let's quickly move on to 19 and Jake. The Saints are back on the clock.
Right, yeah. And they need a wide receiver. I think it's quite clear. I mean, we don't really know what's happening with Michael Thomas, and so I think it's just right for them to get a wide receiver here and at least provide him some emphasis to actually come back and compete, right? I know you said don't go Treylon Burks, but he's looking kind of nice there. There's been plenty of players that haven't tested very well, right? Juju Smith-Schuster, for a good example, I think his 40 time was 4.53, right? I do think there are issues with Treylon Burks' game, his limited route tree at Arkansas. So I think it's tough. I think I'm gonna take a bit of a chance and go Christian Watson from North Dakota State. He's a beast, right? 6'4", 208, 4.36 that 40 time. Right, like good vertical, good broad jump. He was only a two-star recruit coming out of high school. Played for North Dakota State, obviously like the Alabama of FCS. And yeah, he's just dominated obviously at all of his competition. Some teams have had him going to the Eagles at 18, the Packers at 22, and I think he's just another one of those like sort of raw raw prospects with all the athletic ability that has every reason to work his ass off and prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, I agree. I love that pick. I do like that pick a lot, and I'm convinced that Watson is going to be going around this area. There's a lot of teams in and around 15 to 25 that need a wide receiver, and I think this is sort of the area that Watson's going to go. He's, as you say, he was at North Dakota State. There is always that little bit of the competition he's played, but you just have to watch his tape to show that he is quality. He has got the potential. And you say he's 6'4", but he's quick as well. He gets that. He's got that speed and size that you just are fearful of when you see that in a wide receiver. And I think he could be a success at the Saints if this is where he ends up. No doubt about it.
He's not just an outside guy, right? He can play inside as well.
I haven't seen it very much, but I would say the outside is where I would expect to see him, but I think he could quite easily hand himself inside if called upon, definitely.
I think he offers... Go on, Jake, sorry.
Sorry, Stokes. I was just going to say, on his tape, there's like a couple of like clips and stuff where he's doing sort of short drag routes and catches the ball sort of like five yards like ahead of the line of scrimmage. Do you know what I mean? And they try and turn him into like an after the catch runner. And like he was used a little bit like that in North Carolina, but there's not like a massive amount of tape on him from his most recently.
But in that offense, it's not going to be.
Yeah, I mean, they in COVID they didn't play at all, right? And then there was only last year, so.
We've seen players from North Dakota and the FCS succeed, so that doesn't concern me. You just have to watch him and what he does and his mechanics and his speed and his body type. You can just see he's a make ready NFL wide receiver, regardless of where he's played.
Yeah, I was going to say that if you're looking for an outside guy between him and Burks, Watson offers a little bit on the inside, where I'm not sure Burks offers as much as Watson perhaps does on the shorter and intermediate stuff. So I think that's a better pick, Jake. Jake, you're still talking. You're on the clock again, 20 minutes, and it's time for break Ash's heart this time.
It is, yeah. I don't know how much I'm going to break it. I'm going to shatter it, or just a slight crack, but. It's time for a quarterback to come off the board. It's Malik Willis going to the Steelers. I think there's obviously a lot of differing opinions on Malik Willis and his potential and his ceiling and his floor and whether he's an accurate passer, whether he's Lamar Jackson or whether he's Deshaun Watson. I think he's kind of closer to Jalen Hurts than anyone else, really, right? Like he's a smart kid, makes plays with his feet, can pass. And I think the Steelers can look at what the Eagles have done with Hurts and be like, actually, we've got a better team that surrounds this guy. Yes, they need a new offensive line essentially, but they've got a good defense, they've got good wide receivers, they've got an elite young running back. And I think Willis is an experiment they're willing to take at 20.
Ash,
Tom. I would love Willis at 20. I just don't think he's going to be there. If it's a choice out of all of the quarterbacks there now, I would take that chance on Willis. I just think he has just that little bit extra about him. I think he would work perfectly for Matt Canada, who has some of those wild college-type plays in his playbook that Willis would thrive on. And I just don't expect him to be there. That's why I never... really speak about it, because I just assume he's going to be gone by 20, and unless we move up, I don't think we're going to get him. If he's there all day long, I would quite happily take that chance on the ceiling of Willis, no doubt about it.
Good. I'm pleased that wasn't terrible for you, Ash. Okay, I'm on the clock now at 21 with the Patriots. Yeah, all right, let's move on. So the Patriots need a cornerback or a linebacker. And with Booth Jr. going here, I think this is exactly the right spot to give Bill Belichick the Kobe Dean and really cause some trouble.
Why? Yeah. Why do such a horrible thing?
I hate that because it's so good.
Yeah.
But it's the Patriots.
We have to sit here as a college football podcast and not worry about what Belichick's going to do. It's the perfect fit, and I think it's the right time for N'Kobe Dean to come off the board. Tom, as our Georgia Bulldog, what are we saying?
I love N'Kobe Dean. I mean, of all the Georgia defenders, that was the guy that you could rely on game in, game out, every snap. I know people are concerned about his size, but he doesn't play to his size. His speed's incredible. He's sideline to sideline. He's one of, you have your guys in the draft. He's one of mine this year, and that's why it's really upset me that he's going playing in Foxborough. But, I mean, do you think of the impact that he could have on a Belichick defense and how he could be used? It's tasty.
I'm pleased that wasn't terrible, and I didn't.
Well, it's terrible in a way. It's a great pick, but it's terrible in other ways.
No, it's terrible because of who it is. The pick is not the player, the team, and where the N'Kobe Dean's going. The pick itself is great.
Well, that one was for you, Bill. Right, Ash, you're up at 22 for the Packers, and yep. Are we going wide receiver here?
Yes, I would be going Watson if he was here, but of course he went at 19. I do share similar concerns to Jake on Burks, but I do think that the Packers and Rodgers in particular would be a perfect setup for him. Say he's big, he's physical, he's got great run after the catch ability. I'm really disappointed in his combine, because take that out and look at his tape from Arkansas. He has speed and he has the great potential. Just that obviously the combine is so fresh in the mind, and he was really disappointed in it. You can't get away from that. But I love everything else that I've seen about him. From the minute I've watched him and the tape that I've watched, and I think Packers is a perfect landing spot for him. But I would still be going Watson if Watson was available.
Tape doesn't lie. You can talk about combine performances and good days and bad days. Tape doesn't lie, and he was a beast for Arkansas. And rumors are that Jerry Jones has fallen in love with him for the Cowboys at 24. So Green Bay can't wait till 28 to try and get him there.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice, easy one for Arizona for me. It's edge rusher, and I think I'm going to go for the power guy. I'm going to go George Karlaftis here.
You love it.
They need help on the edge. I know JJ Watt's still got a little bit of petrol left in the tank, but I like Karlaftis. And I think a team's getting a really good deal if you can pick him up in the mid-20s.
Yeah, you've loved him at every mock we've done, and taking him higher than this, so... This feels like a value just on your draft board alone.
On the Tom value chart. Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay.
Yeah. No complaints on that one.
So that puts me in a bit of a quandary at 24 with the Cowboys, because George Karlaftis was going to be our pick here, because we are in need of an edge. Having a quick look through here. Excuse me. We do need defensive tackle. And does that say Jordan Davis is still there?
It does, yeah.
Okay, let's plug him in. It seems like a good value at this point to plug him in when we need a defensive tackle.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's great value to get Davis at 24. You're right, the Cowboys, I would say they do need a defensive tackle. I think the only other consideration I would have here would be guard, and that's purely because you've got an age in Zach Martin. You've got... who's the lad who went a couple of years ago to him?
Neville Gallimore?
No. Hang on, let's have a look. McGovern. Connor McGovern. So the only other consideration would be a guard here for me. But yeah, Jordan Davis is great value at 24. And the need is there as well for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Okay, Jake, you're on the clock. 25 for the Bills.
I'm going to go O-line as well. They have a couple of needs, right? They could do with a running back, but I think there's plenty of time to grab one of those later in the draft, given the depth of the position coming out. They could do with like a true outside corner. But I think, again, we've dropped off at a talent level there. Whereas I think at interior O-line, which is another position that like a lot of people talking about them needing, is one where there's still some of the top talent there, right? You've got Kenyon Green, Zion Johnson, and Tyler Linderbaum. I'm gonna stick to my roots. I'm gonna go SEC here. Go Kenyon Green, inside O-line for Texas A&M. Again, like absolute monster of a guy, 6'4", 323 pounds, shade over 5'2", 40 time. But like 40 times not really important, right? On the O-line. Unless you're Jalen Hurts' O-line or running around like a chicken. But yeah, so I think it's a safe pick here. I don't think it's bad. It's never bad, right, to protect Josh Allen more. So yeah, that's where I'm going with this one.
I like the pick. My concern is that the Titans also need offensive line at the next pick, and I don't know whether you picked the player you wanted to the slide to the Titans or the vice versa there. So only time will tell on that one. I do think it's a good pick, though. I think protecting your asset in Josh Allen is hugely important. It's a good way to keep him upright, Kenyon Green. Which does move me to 26 with the Titans. Jake, would you be happy with me taking offensive line here, or is there another position you think I should peruse before we move on?
No, I'd be pretty happy with offensive line here. There's spots we need on the defense as well, but offensive line was a problem. I'll see if we want to play a certain way, right? We want to power run with Henry, and we want to play action with Tannehill, and you can't play action if you can't block. So O-line it is, and I'm pretty happy with that, yeah.
Okay, cool. So with the offensive line, we will be taking Zion Johnson from Boston College. Jake, yes.
Just sold it, didn't he?
Yeah.
I would have gone quarterback if it was my pick.
You're all in it to stab each other in the back.
I'm glad we didn't get Sam Howell, because I honestly think he is just like Ryan Tannehill the second.
Exactly why you want him, though, isn't it? It would have been Sam Howell, because he is just there, ready. Tannehill retire, Sam Howell, there you go. You know what to do.
Doing this all your life already.
No, I think Zion Johnson is a great pickup there. It's an improvement to the line, and as you say, the offense they play, he fits into that perfectly, and it helps Tannehill. And I hate that I've got the Bucks again, because I had the Bucks in the last mock, and Murph hated the pick. I'm not going for him again because I know Murph is watching, and he won't like it, and two, I just don't. I've watched a bit more of him now, and he's dropped slightly in my expectations.
Well, why don't you remind everybody, just to ensue the miserableness a little bit longer? Who did you pick last time?
Last time I picked Kira Lamb, the cornerback, and I'm not going for him this time. But that doesn't necessarily mean I know who I'm going for. So, in fact, I don't know who I'm going for.
So another
one of Ash's special podcast moments. So
we should. This is where lift music should come in for those listening.
You know what? We could have a little theme tune for Ash's special moments.
That sounds like a very different show.
Yeah, I think it should more be along the lines of Between Floors or something like that. Maybe. Special moments, maybe not safe for work.
Yeah, possibly not. I you know what? I really don't know. I really don't know, because I'm looking at their roster, and I'm trying to gauge a weakness that can be improved.
Well, their quarterback's pretty old.
Their quarterback is old, yeah.
You're desperate you are to go right to there. Miami.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. Safety? And then they got Winfield.
I'll just fill the audio listeners in, yes, with please. What's happening. Yeah. Ash is a very, very frantically rubbing his moustache down to the bottom of his goatee in a panicked rhythm. Ash, was this one of your original picks, or have you been thrown?
I don't think it was. No.
Okay. Well, what was on the Buccaneers? Tom, you're an American historian. What sort of knowledge do you have of the golden age of piracy?
Very little.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Right, I'm done. I'm ready.
What do I know?
Ready.
I know where some of the myths come from.
I'm ready.
Ash, wait your turn.
Ash, I was just ready to drop some history then.
No, okay. I'm ready.
There is a podcast series. It's on Spotify. I think it might be a Spotify original called Real Pirates. I genuinely think it is the best podcast series I have ever listened to.
Right.
If we're talking pirate stories, my one of my best friends, his dad works on oil rigs out in Nigeria, and he was kidnapped by pirates for a couple of hours before the oil companies paid him off. But
hey, yeah. I don't see Jack Sparrow doing that.
Yeah, that's a different type of pirate.
It's all fun and games when it's a Hollywood blockbuster, but you know the reality of it.
Ash, that's plenty of time.
It is plenty of time. I was ready as soon as you started mentioning pirates. I don't know. Where are you, Ash? Yeah, I was. Yeah, we're going Jermaine Johnson Edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more I looked at it, I said that I couldn't see a weakness in their roster, and I wouldn't say it is a weakness, but I would say out of anywhere that can do with improving, I would say Edge is the area, and Jermaine Johnson is clearly the best edge left available, and. Yes, it's actually, I don't know why I didn't think of him sooner. He was right at the top of the board as well. It was just really poor from me. So under pressure. New Murph was watching, hated every minute.
I mean, you've still got JPP there, right?
I don't know if he is doing still there, thing? Is he? I thought he'd gone.
I'm sure we're about
JPP
to find
was still
out.
Doing his thing. They took a developmental guy last year in Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, and... I guess, you know, Jermaine Johnson's another guy. You know, we've seen one solid year of production. We haven't really seen him get after the quarterback in a lot of different ways, but that's because at Florida State, he was always asked to be sort of spying the run before he went after the passer. So, you know, I think there's potential to be tapped there. And it's Jermaine Johnson at 27.
I agree. He's got the rush, and he's got the pass rush potential and the run defend. He can do both. He's shown both. And as you say, it is a sample size, but everything I have seen, and he continues to impress in the off season as well. Obviously at solid senior bowl and just really gone up from there. So it's a bargain at 27.
I've got back-to-back picks now, Stocks, and then that's me. I'm putting my feet up. I'm not paying any attention to the rest of your picks.
That's fine. You can hop
on. We're gonna have a little quiz for this pick. I'm about to pick for the Green Bay Packers a player that's going to turn 25 in his rookie year.
And you want to know who it is?
I know who it is. I want you to tell
that's
me.
What
who it is,
that's
yeah.
what I said. You want to know who? It, you want us yeah. to tell you who it is? 25. Okay.
25.
You know what? I'm drawing a blank because the only person that I know is old off the top of my head in the draft is Pickett, but it's not him because one is 24 and there's no way that they're taking a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, you covered off a load of nonsense there, Ash. Well done.
Can we have another clue? I don't want you to tell her to
it. The other clue is happy birthday, yeah. Stock.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Stocks.
Oh, no. Don't take him here. He's got to slide all the way to 31 to keep Joe Burrow upright. How dare you? Oh.
Oh, it's... Yeah. Oh, Ryman. Yeah.
Bernard Raymond. Yeah. He turns 25 in his rookie year.
It's because he went back to Austria, isn't he?
That's very old for a rookie, man. But, yeah, for Green Bay, I wasn't quite sure where to go beyond this. I like Tyler Smith. I like Raymond too. I mean, when I found out his age, he'd sort of slid about 20 to 30 spots in my rankings when I found out he was a 25-year-old rookie. But so maybe it's a bit of a reach. But yeah, we'll take Bernard Raymond for Green Bay. I'm willing to hear that there'd be better options for the Packers here, but I think the glaring need was wide receiver. And then beyond that, I was thinking line. There wasn't really anything on the defensive line taking my fancy at this stage.
It's funny because he's an old, he's an inexperienced 25-year-old, isn't he? Though, because obviously he's a foreign exchange student that went back to Austria. He started his career as a tight end before transitioning, but he's brought that tight end sort of athleticism to the tackle position, and he is raw, but what I've seen of him, there is potential there that he isn't too far from the surface either. I think he could surprise a lot of people, even if he does go at 28.
Tom. Well, he's ready to peak just at about age 32.
Yeah, which is perfect for a tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, just in time for his retirement party. For the Chiefs, I know we've got two picks here. Jake, I don't know what you're feeling because you've got the next one, but for me, it's wide receiver and safety. And there's been a run on wide receivers. So I'm going to take the safety and make your job harder. Lewis Seymour.
I had a whole
Ash has already made the pick. Ash, Ash knows where he's going. Yeah. I could have said Daxton Hill there, Ash, but no.
I had a whole speech lined up about how you were going to like usher out Tyrann Mathieu and usher in Lewisine, and he's 6'2 and much bigger than your usual safety, but insanely quick.
You can do all that. That's fine. Like I said, as soon as my life picks in, I'm not paying any more attention. So you do it. You go for it.
If you hadn't noticed, I was just doing it anyway. Just for... I love that pick there, man. That's exactly who I would have gone. I've got obviously the pick next after you, which is also the Chiefs. And if you hadn't taken in my word, so yeah,
it's just a make ready replacement, isn't he? For Matthews, yeah. When they've got two picks here back to back, one of them's got to be him.
I'm not going to be surprised if he goes earlier tomorrow night. If he goes earlier than that tomorrow night. He's not. There's no way he gets out of the first round.
Well, you are at 30, yeah. So where are we going?
Do we need some lift music, Jake? Is this another chat about pirates, or are you ready?
No, we don't need to talk about pirates.
Rude.
You can talk about Lewis Seen on my pick, and I can talk about pirates on yours. Yeah, I know why they wear gold. Who deal. Well, I know all sorts.
Deal. There's a couple I could go for here, right? They do need someone coming off the edge. And we're at a point in our draft where most of the top edge players have gone here, right? There's only a couple that I'm looking at. Then also, it's the same with the wide receivers. So I'm kind of stuck between choosing David Ojabo off the edge or Jahan Dotson at wide receiver. I think there's more value to be had at edge. I think there's the wide receiver. You can get a Jahan Dotson maybe around later. So I don't think you can get a David Ojabo around later. So I'm going to go David Ojabo off the edge.
How worried are you about the injury?
We've seen it before, right? Like when, what's his, I can't remember, a couple of years ago, the linebacker that was coming out of Notre Dame that went to the Cowboys, who had like a savage leg-breaking injury, came back and was, I can't remember his name.
My man's totally blank there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was someone they paid recently as well, I think, as well. I think he showed himself to be an athletic beast. In the Big Ten, it's a tough league to stand out for edge rushers because of the style of play, right? Like it's not as spread as somewhere like the Pac-12 or the Big 12. I just think he translates very, very well to the next level. The Chiefs are in a situation where, okay, yeah, he might not be able to play, but they're in a good position otherwise, and Mahomes and that offense can carry them to where they want to be anyway. I just think he's a good investment. And I think, again, at 30, at wide receiver, right, like pick number 30, there's not much difference between wide receiver at pick 30 and wide receiver at pick like 50 or 40, right? So I just think it's a smarter pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think you take that chance on Ojabo returning from that injury because of the potential that he's got there. It's when you're at this stage of the draft, Ojabo was a first round player.
Oh yeah,
until this injury. It's difficult to say that potential is gone because of this injury. We won't know. No one will really know until he's in the building and he's recovering, and we see how that recovery goes. But there is no denying what we've already seen from him at Michigan, as you say, in the Big Ten, where defenses reign supreme in that division. So to be able to stand out above others and still have more potential, you can't ignore that, especially not at 30, and especially not for a team like the Chiefs.
I know we're not doing trades, but you know, seeing a team like Kansas City with back-to-back picks, I think there'll be teams climbing back into, or trying to climb back into the first for one of those,
sure.
just with the benefit of having the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
And the linebacker I can remember his name of is Jalen Smith. He was had that savage injury. Yeah, right before he came into the draft.
Well, that leaves me to 31 with the Cincinnati Bengals. Am I being hugely silly here? Is Tyler Lindenbaum still on the board, or is he gone?
No, he's still there. Still
he's very much on the board.
Oh, okay, Joe Burrow's knee, thanks me. Tyler Lindenbaum, inside offensive line, boss. Put him in. Joe, you are welcome. It was hugely apparent all through last year and in the Super Bowl that Joe Burrow needs to be kept upright. And when you've got every position on the offense sorted except offensive line, and you get somebody, Tyler Lindenbaum's quality, stick him in, happy days.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't think it matters. Yeah. I don't know if they've signed anybody in off-season for center, but I think even if they do, he's going to compete and arguably be better with whoever they've been able to pick up anyway. So, yeah, I love that pick. Hate it because it's the Bengals, but I love that pick.
Out here breaking hearts. Right, Ash, 32. Yeah. The Lions 32. From the Rams.
Yeah, Daxton Hill. Oh, and it's gone off the screen. What's happened? Anyway, I've taken Daxton Hill. I actually knew what I was doing for this one. it was gonna be Sine. I thought that you might have wanted, one of you two might have gone Hill over Sine, and I would have got him at 32. But either way, I'm happy to take Daxton Hill at 32. I think he's definitely a first round talent. They need a safety. Easy pickup here for me. I know there's been some rumblings of a quarterback, but I'd rather try and shore up that defense first. And you know, they got Jared Goff. They don't need a quarterback.
Can you pick it false today too, then?
Well, that's it. That is the other thing as well. The Lions have still got a high second round pick. They can take that chance. One quarterback's gone off the board in the first round in our mock draft. So there's high chance that there's one of them is still going to be there, and arguably all of them could still be sat there when they come to pick again. When do they pick? Are they second?
They are, yeah.
On day 34. Two? Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah, so they've got a pick to wait. They've got the luxury of what they want to do.
Love it. He was always going to be there for you, Ash. The Georgia fan and the Alabama fan were never going to pick.
Yeah, that's true. Never gonna pick
Big Ten guy over a Georgia guy.
You haven't watched it.
We know too much.
Yeah, or not enough.
We do know too much. SEC, well, but everybody else.
Well, the Big Ten are still without a number one overall pick, and the Central Michigan Chippewas hold that record for 11 years.
There's a surprise.
Yeah. I don't think we've had actually that many overall ones. I know we've had loads of first rounders, especially with Saban. I don't think we've had that many like 101s, right? I don't think Bama have had that many 101s. Maybe a couple, if over the like in their entire history, but there's definitely not many. Definitely not I can recall like straight off the top of my head.
Well, Jake, you can't come into the podcast an hour and 11 minutes in and drop something without knowing the answer. So as usual, Ash is going to run through the 32 picks, and as we get to the end, Jake, I want to know who the 101s from Alabama are in recent history.
Go on, are we ready? I'm ready.
Let's go.
Number one overall, the Jacksonville Jaguars took Evan Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama. At two, the Lions took Aiden Hutchinson, edge from Michigan. At three, the Texans took Kayvon Thibodeau, edge from Oregon. At four, the New York Jets took Trayvon Walker, edge from Georgia. At five, the Giants took Akeem Ikwunu, offensive tackle from NC State. At six, the Panthers took Charles Cross, offensive tackle from Mississippi State. At seven, the Giants were back on the board. They took Ahmed Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati. At 8, the Falcons took Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama. Number 9, the Seahawks took Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback from LSU. At 10, the Jets were back up and they took Drake London, wide receiver from USC. At 11, Washington took Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah. At 12, the slide ends and the Vikings take Carl Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame. The Texans were back at 13. They took Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State. The Ravens took a Georgia defensive tackle, but not the one you thought. They took Devontae Wyatt at 14. Philadelphia Eagles at 15 took Trent McDuffie, cornerback from Washington. At 16, the Saints took Trevor Penning, offensive tackle from Northern Iowa. The Chargers at 17 took Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback from Clemson. At 18, the Eagles were back up and they took Chris Olave, wide receiver from Ohio State. At 19, the Saints were back up. They took Christian Watson, wide receiver from North Dakota State. At 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers took Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. 21, the hated pick in the draft, the Patriots took N'Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia. At 22, with their first pick, the Packers took Treylon Burks, wide receiver from Arkansas. Cardinals at 23 took George Karlaftis, edge from Purdue. At 24, Jordan Davis, defensive tackle, Georgia, went to the Cowboys. The Bills at 25 took Kenyon Green, offensive guard from Texas A&M. Back-to-back guards at 26, Titans took Zion Johnson, the guard from Boston College. At 27, the Buccaneers took Jermaine Johnson, edge from Florida State. The Packers, with their second pick of the first round, took Bernard Raymond, offensive tackle from Central Michigan. The Chiefs had two. At 29, they took Lewis Cine, safety from Georgia. And at 30, David Ojabo, edge from Michigan. The Bengals at 31 shored up that offensive line. Tyler Lindenbaum, offensive center from Iowa. And finally, the Lions, with their second pick of the first round, took Daxton Hill, safety from Michigan.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Ash shaved his best recap for the end. Absolutely nailed it there. Not a mistake in sight. Well played, sir. Well played indeed. Jake, you had roughly 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. That face is not the face of somebody who knows the answer to the question. Who have Alabama had many 101s?
They have had one in the last 74 years. You'd be remiss for thinking Joe Namath was the number one. That was actually for the AFL, that wasn't yet merged with the NFL. So the actual last number 101 pick that Alabama had was Harry Gilmer in 1948. Yeah, and he was taken by Washington. Number
just
one,
on the tip of my tongue, Harry Gilmer. How could I forget?
I mean, that harks back to the Lonely Hearts Club, that sort of information, boys.
Oh, yeah, I was getting flashbacks then. And Georgia beat out Alabama on the way to victory.
More than once in that.
It's a new season soon, Tom.
Yeah.
If you are interested to know, number
is it about pirates?
No, number 6 overall is the most selected in the first round Alabama have had, with 7 players.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Facts.
I'd have preferred a pirate fact, I'll be honest.
Well, that's not my forte. I apologise.
I've got another one, but I'll save it for another day. Save it for another day.
Keep on coming back, Stokes. Keep on coming back.
Right, Rush Nation, that is going to do it for Draftmas Eve. Jake, thank you so much for jumping on and making it affordable today. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter? That is, if you want some interaction.
Yeah, pleasure to do this with all you guys. Always enjoy it. I'm at Dynasty Brits, B-R-I-T, on Twitter. Yeah. Come and abuse me verbally. Why not?
And the floodgates are open. You could obviously... Jake's been dropping absolute bombs for us recently. A really good one on Texas Tech being number one in the AP in the recruiting rankings for 24 hours dropped recently. So that was an interesting read, Jake. I enjoyed that a lot. Tom,
yeah.
Up until now, your hopes and dreams have all been computer-based until Thursday, maybe Friday night. I hope you get the outcome that you so wish. I hope that the draft
is fine for you. Yeah, I'm gonna switch my phone off until Friday evening, and hopefully I'll be sort of, you know, none the wiser when I eventually do watch the draft.
Well, don't forget, I will be messaging you, not Thursday, obviously, because the phone will be off, but on Friday, I'm going to see how you're feeling after the Jets have either eviscerated hope for another year or give you some.
If it's Trayvon Walker, I'm telling you, it's going to end in tears.
I'm going to message you on Friday that it is Trayvon Walker before you've watched it.
and that right there is why we do all of this, for the absolute banter that is 5 Yard College Boys. Ash, thank you very much for jumping back on. It's been a pleasure, my friend. Have a good wedding next week. We are not here next week, Rush Nation. Ash is at a wedding. I am on holiday in Suffolk, I think, sunny Skegness. So.
It's a bit worrying that you don't know when it's next week.
Well, I don't need to know what county it's in. I know where I'm going, and Google Maps will do the rest. Come on, it's 20-something century. There'll be more pirate facts coming in the near future. Don't you worry about that. And Rush Nation, Saturdays are for rushing too.